Last week in a press conference in Vancouver, it was announced that BC Conservative Party leader Barry Chilton and BC Unity Party leader Chris Delaney had signed an agreement in principle to create a new political party bearing the BC Conservative moniker. Under the working name the BC Alternative, both parties will meet on September 25th in Coquitlam to formalize the new entity. Blake McKenzie, the Director of Communications for the BC Alternative Task Force, joins me now on the line to discuss the merger and the need for it in this provincial political climate. From Victoria, welcome to thecommentary.ca, Blake McKenzie. Good afternoon, Mr. McKenzie.
Thank you for having me here, Joseph.
Thank you for joining us. The BC Unity Party was a coalition of two, three, four different political parties, was it?
Yeah, that's correct. Initially, it was a movement to so-called unite the right. A number of parties being Reform BC, the Family Coalition Party, the BC Conservative Social Credit, and the British Columbia Party. So yes, five parties were involved in that process.
So what's the BC Alternative then, if the Conservatives were part of the creation of Unity prior to 2001?
Well, the BC Conservatives, and actually I came from the British Columbia Conservative Party.
You were once the vice president of that, were you?
That's correct. And I was, at that time when they were discussing, I was only a regional director. But the process kind of got broken up at one point because the BC Party, BC Social Credit, and then the BC Conservatives decided to go their own direction. And they tried to unite under the BC Party while Reform and the Family Coalition went on to form BC Unity. And so the actual entire unity process collapsed, and so did it under the BC Party. And many of the personalities that were in charge of some of these smaller political parties made it very difficult to make some kind of a union amongst them work. And but overall, many of the people involved in those parties never gave up hope that this would eventually happen down the road. And at that time, much of the province was reserved to just getting the NDP out and vote Liberal at all costs.
The need for this new entity, the BC Conservative Party, which is a coalition of which would be now a merger of both the Unity Party and the current Conservative Party, seems to a lot of people, and I've read this in the press, that they're doing this to get the name. The BC Conservative name, is that a legitimate concern for some people? Or,
well, I don't know if it's an legitimate concern, because you know the majority of the people describe themselves as, say, philosophically conservative, in a sense that you know they're very fiscally conservative and they believe in individual rights and issues that are important to most people in British Columbia. So the name itself really describes, I think, historically a large segment of our population, and also politically, it has the opportunity now, since what's happened on the federal stage, to sort of pull those pieces together. Ever since social credit kind of imploded back in 1991, and you know, social credit, as you know, was a formation or a coalition of BC Liberals and BC Conservatives back in the late 40s, early 50s, as they came together to try and stop the CCF from taking power. But ever since social credit had declined in popularity and, as I said, imploded, it created a sort of a vacuum for Conservatives and voters in British Columbia to look for an alternative, and they haven't had it for a number of years, actually since the social credit years.
You know, I look at the front bench of the BC Liberal Party, and I see some of the old socreds there, like Claude Richmond, like what's the Labour Minister, Graham Bruce.
Yes.
And Richard Neufeld was, of course, a former Reform Party member.
That's
but
right.
He was from the social credit side of things as well. Why then, I guess, awkwardly put, what's wrong with the BC Liberal banner? done, or what's wrong with that party, and where has it gone wrong?
Well, the BC Liberals themselves have shot themselves in the foot. I mean, they came out with a number of promises back in 1996, and then again in 2000, that contradicted each other. And, you know, really, it was a coalition of convenience. A number of these people had banded together in nothing more as a political party movement to get rid of the NDP. Very short on vision, and obviously very short on keeping their promises. And the BC Liberals have shown themselves to be somewhat of a very corporatist party. And when I say that, I'm not saying that we as BC Conservatives merging together under that name are anti-corporations, but we are somewhat BC firsters, and we believe that, you know, the BC Liberals have put a, basically a for sale sign on British Columbia and started marketing British Columbia for a, basically, to sell out to their large special interests in multinational corporations. And obviously, we've also seen a very close instruction and closeness to the federal Liberals as well. So conservatives feel, for the most part right now, very disenfranchised from, you know, from the BC politic, as they see Liberals controlling the province at the moment, both federally and provincially, and they're seeing that the only alternative to choose is to choose for a very extreme left-wing, narrow vision of the British Columbia New Democrats, who seem to have their special interests locked up in big labor.
The mayor,
we have a party in a time where the BC Conservatives are trying to say we're here for British Columbians, and all of us individuals who make up the vast majority, and whose interests are not being protected, and we're seeing, you know, the carve up of British Columbia to special interest groups.
Now, the mayor of Lake Cowichan, Jack Peake, came out on, I guess this was yesterday, supporting the BC Alternative, and he said in the press release that you put out, we faced the extreme left of the NDP and now the extreme right of the provincial Liberals. Now, by virtue of the parties involved in the Unity Party, such as the Family Coalition, that seems to signal to me that that's the extreme right rather than Gordon Campbell.
It depends on what you mean by extreme. Like the Family Coalition, what happened with Unity, it actually dissipated. They were such numerically small. The vast majority of the people in Unity were reformers, and that wing of Unity has somewhat gone their own direction, I have to say. But the bottom line, it doesn't matter whose point of view that is being espoused within the BC Alternative process, is we're here to talk to people individually, and we're here to have their voice heard individually, and it doesn't matter if they're a pro-choicer or a pro-lifer, it doesn't matter if they're for gay marriage or not for gay marriage, this movement is for the people, and it's a very populist-driven party, so it doesn't have an extreme wing to it in the sense that we're going to have an ideological bent that says that when we take office, we're going to come out and ban abortions or anything like that. This party is not about that at all. It's quite broader, quite wider than what may be deemed by the political spectrums that we talk about today, because right and left in British Columbia isn't the same as what right and left is with the majority of the rest of the world. Really a concern of, you know, we do have a social conscience, and that's a big part of our win as well.
Now, I look at the voting results from 2001, and Unity barely cracked 4%.
Yeah.
And we look now at the federal election results, and we saw the Conservative vote slip in the last election. So how do you expect to become the third party when the Greens in 2001 hit double digits? I mean, it seems to me that it's logical for them to be the third party.
Well, it's logical if you're on the left. The problem with the Green Party is that they have a very narrow focus, and even in their name itself, most people identify the Greens as an environmental party, and basically, you know, primarily British Columbia is a resource-based economy. We have a huge resource-based economy, and the people in the province would find them a threat to that. So we need to have a political alternative that is broader in its scope. It's much wider. It looks at all areas of industry. It looks at all areas of environmental movements. It looks at all areas of healthcare, education. It's a broader appeal, where it said the Greens are very narrow in their vision, and even if they may, through their policy, just by through optically and by their name recognition, people identify them as mainly extreme in their environmental views. So that's something that the Greens are going to have to, you know, fight to get out of. But let's face it, the split is going to happen through the NDP, and the Greens will be taking NDP votes away. So unless, you know, the Greens and the NDP can come to some kind of working coalition together, they've already split what you could deem the left side of the vote. But I think it's really important to look at the dynamics of our voting blocks within British Columbia. For instance, you know, Elections BC reported that about 65%, I believe that's the number around there, 65-68% showed up to vote, that were registered to vote in the last election. But BC, Elections BC has also identified 800,000 people who were eligible to vote that did not register to vote in British Columbia.
That weren't on the list?
That weren't on the list, but they were eligible to vote. And that it's a sad commentary when you get 65% of the actual registered voters, and you take that 35% that didn't show up to vote in the last election, and add that to the 800,000 who are eligible to vote but didn't register, there is a huge voting bloc out there that feel disenfranchised, feel that they don't have a place in our political arena to help steer the direction of their province. And it really says to me that a vast majority of British Columbians need an alternative and something they can get behind.
We're talking to Blake McKenzie, the Director of Communications for the BC Alternative Task Force. So do you expect to get votes then from those people that are disenfranchised, those people that aren't on the voting list? Do you also expect to get people to vote for this new entity from the BC Liberals as well as the NDP and the Greens?
Well, we believe that people have been saying that the rise of the BC Conservatives would mean a vote split with the Liberals, which would cause the NDP to get into power, but we beg to differ. If there's any split that's happening, it's people are splitting from the Liberals because the Liberals' policies themselves have been killing themselves, killing their own party, and chasing votes away from them. So they're putting the NDP back in power by their own accord. But we'll be taking votes guaranteed away from the Liberals, and we'll be taking votes away from the NDP. That soft NDP vote will definitely move towards our position, which is far more stable in a sense that we are free enterprise, but we're not free enterprise for free, like what you see with the BC Liberals. We believe that a number of our public assets are important to be owned by the people of British Columbia and have benefited our province and have done really well in providing some great things for the people of this province. But you know, we're going to definitely focus in on those new voters, those voters that have been disenfranchised, and say, you now can come and please join us and let's make a change. Let's make a people-first type party where government is not involved in picking sides, as we see with the NDP or the Liberals. If they go in and the strong corporatist approach of the BC Liberals is there to block the big labor approach or vice versa of the NDP. And, you know, we actually, from BC Unity's perspective as well, we also suggested to the Elections BC that they just automatically register those 800,000 people and that they shouldn't be forced to have to go and fill out information to register to vote, but if they're already on the list, then register them.
Has there been opposition? I mean, I was reading in Vaughn Palmer's column about within the BC Conservative Party towards this merger. Have those concerns been addressed?
Oh, those concerns have been addressed and continue to be addressed. There is a faction on the BC Conservative Executive that seems to want to block this initiative, and some of the strongest proponents against it are people that have been recently lost quite a few people, including myself, back over a year ago. They've appointed people to these executive positions, and these people are really unelected people and are trying to decide the outcome of the entire membership of the Conservative Party. But the leader himself, Barry Chilton, and the current sitting past president and a number of other directors have said that they want to see this go through and that it is not for the executive to decide if this merger goes through or not, that it's up to the membership, and they're going to put the vote through to the membership to decide on ratifying the AIP.
But you have a sense, though, that this will go through and that in May of 2005 there will be a BC Conservative Party running in that election.
Absolutely. I'm completely convinced that the people in the membership of the BC Conservative Party, the people in BC Unity, and the vast majority of British Columbians that have been getting excited ever since this story broke, that we will be there, and we will be running 79 candidates, and to be quite honest, we'll be running some very high-profile candidates.
Can you give us some names?
And the NDP are going to be seeing a different shape to our political makeup in BC, for sure, next election.
Can you give us some names of some of these high-profile candidates that you plan on recruiting?
I can't at the moment. I'd love to, but they will be making, I'm sure, their official announcements, intentions, come the BC Alternative Convention.
I thought I'd try. there are two disaffected BC Liberal members that are sitting as independents. That's Mr. Nettleton and Ms. Brenzinger. Have you attempted, has this BC Alternative tried to attract them?
Well, the BC Alternative has basically made their information known to all sitting MLAs, and so it doesn't matter if you're NDP or Liberal or Independent. We're open, absolutely, to talking with any individual that's currently sitting in the legislature that would get behind us. As you say, we're open, and we're quite broad in our scope, so I'm sure people like Paul Nettleton or Elaine Brenzinger would probably find a good home with us, since we do want to represent the wishes of the constituents and not the wishes of Gordon Campbell's friends either in Ottawa or his multinational interests.
The use of the Conservative name, you said I'm assuming here, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that the use of the Conservative name will be to capitalize on the sort of Conservative merger that we saw federally. How potent will that be in getting this new entity support?
Well,
is it like the Reform Party, like the BC Reform Party that came out in the early 1990s?
Well, absolutely. There is some brand recognition there. Just by name alone, people will equate the BC Conservative to the Federal Party. And the interesting issues that face the Federal Party is that when they signed their agreement in principle and ratified it, became the Conservative Party of Canada, they agreed that all existing provincial wings would be maintained. Technically, the British Columbia Conservative Party has been in existence since 1903 and was a provincial wing to the Federal Progressive Conservative Party.
Is there a formal link then with the Stephen Harpers in Ottawa? I know that you had an MP, Daryl Stinson.
Yeah.
He's
come out and supported it.
Will most of other Conservative MPs support this as well?
Well, it's going to be interesting, since the BC Conservative Party itself does run completely independently, so we're not beholden to the Conservative Party of Canada.
Like the NDP is federally and provincially.
Exactly, where the Green Party is, their federal and international movement, or the Liberals even claim that they don't have a tie, but it's clear that we've seen that there is a tie there, and which also concerns many provincial Conservatives in the Federal Party that they don't have representation on the provincial level. But as for any kind of formal tie there, if there ever is, and we'd definitely be willing to, I'm sure, talk about it once the ratification process is complete, my understanding is that John Reynolds has said that the caucus is going to be discussing it on the 25th of September. As a matter of fact, it's the same date of our BC Alternative Conference. So we hope that they would come out and endorse this process as well. And so we're willing to take endorsements from anybody that is saying that this is going to be good for British Columbia.
Do you think you could do better than 4%?
Absolutely. Our prediction is that once you put BC Conservative on the, even if you were to start doing polling right now, if you put BC Conservatives on there, we would get into high teens immediately. Once this process is over and we're able to start moving forward with the campaign for 2005, the leadership race that will be held throughout this fall and finishing on December 4th, it's going to generate a lot of excitement around the province. And for sure to bring out some high-profile candidates, and we definitely will be on the map, and we'll be much higher than 4%. You could say we'll probably be in around 20% at least.
Now, you said that you were going to run 79 candidates. Obviously, the hours and the to get that together is you'll need a lot of time, and you've got less than a year. Will you then be targeting certain ridings rather than running a whole provincial campaign en masse?
Well, we will be probably doing a combination of both. We will be running a campaign en masse. I'm sure we'll be, trying to target specific areas such where our leader will be running. We want to make sure that our leader gets into the legislature. We've been told that, the most vulnerable place right now for the BC Liberals is in the 250 area codes, and even some lower mainland, upper and lower Fraser Valleys that are potentially could go BC Conservative as well. So it's really going to be, we're going to be running 79 candidates in this, and as we said before, that the Unity ran over 60 candidates, or I think it was 65 candidates in the last election, and the Conservatives ran 6. And so there is already enough organization there to build upon. And so we really only need to branch out to about 19 more constituencies to get them up and running and ready for the election as well.
You mentioned this, or you alluded to this earlier, and that is, with the BC Liberals, they'll be running strong and hard in 2005. You've got the Conservative Party coming up. Are you afraid that this split on the right of the so-called free enterprise vote will essentially get the NDP back? I mean, what's your response to those people's concerns that really don't want to see the NDP back and are afraid that with these two parties running, that's what you're going to see?
Well, my response to people who are hearing the vote split is to get the people that didn't vote, a million-plus people in British Columbia, who didn't vote in the last election, to get them out to vote, and you will not get a vote split. Matter of fact, you might even get a major majority for the first time where the people have actually picked a government rather than ousted a government, like what happened with the NDP. Everyone voted Liberal to get rid of the NDP, and that was it. That was the only reason why those people took office. And the fear, we're expecting that the fear-mongering rhetoric will continue with from the BC Liberals as they try to scare people away from this movement. But, fear is no way to win the hearts and minds of British Columbians or any person around this world. Those are tactics from dictatorships and governments that wish to retain power at all costs. And we don't believe by using fear as a way to win votes. And quite frankly, if the NDP were able to squeeze out the minority government, I think that's probably about the best the NDP could ever do. And then they would be facing most likely a mixed legislature of Conservatives and Liberals who would be holding them to account. So a third party in the legislature would only add credibility to our democracy and hopefully restore some sense of sensibility to British Columbia politics.
Has the BC Unity Party or the Conservative Party taken a position as to the deliberations of the the Citizens Assembly are taking at the moment. Have you taken any position on?
Well, one of our five principles is that we support any kind of discussions in our agreement in principle. We have it right in there when it comes to some type of electoral reform. We've called it our number four principle, democratic accountability and reform. And the party believes substantial reform of the political system is required to create political accountability and democratic renewal in British Columbia. So it is a major platform piece for our movement. But I will qualify it even further that we believe that we need to look beyond just what the Citizens Assembly scope has been. They've looked primarily on electoral reform. We need to look at also our systemic reform of how our government is structured and how it operates and how is it held accountable to the people. So we'll be expanding that role far beyond just the scope of just electoral reform.
Blake, thank you very much for joining us. I'll look forward to everything that goes on with this because I voted Conservative and Alliance federally, and I voted NDP in the last provincial election because I just disliked the BC Liberal Party.
Mm-hmm.
So with this, there'll hopefully be an option, and I'll look forward to seeing who you'll be running in Kensington, Vancouver, Kensington, and good luck with this and your meeting on September 25th, and you'll keep us posted.
Absolutely. Are you going to be in attendance?
I actually don't know. That's September 25th, right, in Coquitlam?
That's correct. Yeah,
great.
Most likely, you say we're going to have lots of media there, so I'm sure all the press will be getting their passes to attend that and watch the rise of the Conservatives again.
Well, if I'm in Coquitlam that day, I'll be sure to drop by.
Oh, that would be terrific.
Right. Blake McKenzie, thank you for joining us. Blake McKenzie is the Director of Communications for the BC Alternative Task Force. The big meeting is September 25th, 2004 at the Executive Plaza Hotel and Conference Center in Coquitlam, British Columbia. This segment was produced by yours truly with Richie Leung and Vishal Durr. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plana.